Welcome to Sideline Sleuths, a true crime podcast all about the tragic yet fascinating cases no one can seem to get enough of. I'm Megan.
And I'm Jasmine.
We're so glad you're listening. If you like being an armchair detective, you'll love being a sideline sleuth. Okay. Today we're going to talk about the disappearance and presumed death of an Alabama teenager named Brittany Wood. However, this case has a lot more going on than just whatever happened to Brittany. It turns out that her disappearance was just the tip of the iceberg, and what lay beneath the surface was her family's perverse and unimaginable secrets. Before I continue further with Brittany's story, I want to give you a disclaimer. All of the murders and disappearances we've discussed on this podcast contain heavy and at least somewhat graphic content, but this episode is different. Brittany's disappearance was a catalyst that would uncover heinous crimes against children, which may be a trigger for some listeners. So please use your own judgment before continuing on with this episode. Listener discretion is advised. Brittany was 19 years old when she went missing on May 30th, 2012, from Theodore, Alabama, which is near Mobile. She was the mother of a 2-year-old girl named Peyton. Brittany told her mother, Chessie, that she was going to go visit her uncle, Donald Holland Sr., known as Donnie, in the Styx River, Alabama area. She got a ride from him. He picked her up outside her house, and she was actually last seen getting into his vehicle around 7:30 p.m. the day she went missing. Her cell phone last pinged in the Styx River area, but she has never been seen or heard from again. Her phone stayed on for 6 days after her disappearance. Her parents finally reported her missing days later on June 2nd. But that same uncle died from an alleged self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head on June 1st. What? 2 days after he picked up Brittany, yeah. And the day before she was reported missing. His body was discovered inside of a vehicle by family members. Reportedly, Brittany's handgun and battery to her cell phone were also found in that vehicle, but there was no other sign of her. And remember, her phone was on for several days after he was killed, or okay. After he died.
Was it her handgun that he shot himself
with? I don't believe so.
So it was just in the car? Yeah. And her cell phone battery?
The battery.
Okay. So, but it was still on.
Yeah, that seemed kind of weird to me. So maybe it was like a portable, like a battery, or like a charge, like a... What are those things called?
Like the portable, like, chargers, like, yeah. Movies or whatever.
What is that called, Lofi, though? Mofi? I have no idea. The external battery. There we go. That's what we're going to call it. At the time of his death, Donnie was being investigated for his involvement in crimes of a sexual nature against children in his own family. Some people have suggested that Brittany planned to confront him about the abuse within their family and that she was likely killed because of it. I actually read that Donnie's wound was to the back of the head, but that it was still determined to be a suicide. So that's kind of intriguing.
Yeah.
And
let's unpack that.
Impossible
later.
A little, maybe?
It's impossible to shoot yourself in the back of the head for sure.
Yeah. By the end of 2013, as many as 11 people within the Wood family or their close friends were arrested. But that's what all those mugshots are there for.
11?
But not for Brittany's murder. Instead, they were arrested for what officials are calling a pedophile ring. Included in those arrests were Brittany's own mother, Chessie, and her brother, Derek. That's her brother.
Her own mother?
Yeah. So, the crimes of these 11 individuals include rape, sex abuse with children under the age of 12, incest, sodomy, and the production of child pornography. Her mother was arrested for 2 counts of sodomy and sex abuse of a child less than 12. Derek, her brother, was charged with second-degree rape and second-degree sodomy. Chessie said that the sexual allegations surrounding her family are just a distraction to take away from what's really important, her missing daughter, and not their quote-unquote family drama.
Oh, Megan, this is too much.
And for her to say that these allegations are...
A distraction?
Are,
yeah. These are horrible crimes.
Yeah. And
so you're not even denying them. You're just saying, oh, Don't get fooled, guys.
But she denied her involvement. But she's not denying that there was a pedophile ring in her family. She just denied that she was in part of it. And basically, she said that she lost the public's help and help from different organizations to help find Brittany because now they're hesitant to work with her because of the pedophile ring allegations. So she actually ended up pleading guilty to a lesser charge of reckless endangerment rather than the more serious offenses that they were trying to attribute to her, which was like sodomy and sex abuse of a child. So she has continued to maintain her innocence and said that she actually had no idea about the sexual abuse going on in the family until after Brittany went missing. So, on May 27th, 2012, so just 3 days before she was last seen, Brittany received some Facebook messages from a victim. Brittany said, quote, "How are you? Tell me what's going on. I don't know what's true and what you said," end quote. The victim told her that they were raped by Randall Scott Wood, Brittany's maternal uncle, so Chessie's brother, Dustin Kent, Brittany's uncle by marriage, and Donald Holland Sr., also known as Donnie, the guy that she was last seen with, and he is her uncle by another marriage. So more messages were sent to Brittany by that same person on May 28th and May 30th, but Brittany never responded. Police had already started looking into the alleged pedophile ring and were hoping to talk to Brittany about who was involved, but unfortunately that never got to happen. In 2012, Randall Scott Wood, so her maternal uncle, had been accused of several sex crimes, and it was then that he came forward with information about sex crimes being committed by others.
So in order to get a lesser sentence for himself,
he came forward with a bunch of people. So in Texas, we call this agency Child Protective Services, and it's part of the Department of Family and Protective Services. I'm not sure what they call it in Alabama. It's something else. But reports were made to that organization, which is essentially CPS. And in those reports, they talk about a child who was being abused by family members. So when that investigation began, I think the phrasing that they used was that they just kept discovering more and more layers to the onion. It just, like, gives me the willies talking about it, listening to it. So in October of 2012, which is 5 months after Brittany vanished, a police detective testified in the case against Dustin Kent. I think it's this guy. Yeah, that's Dustin Kent.
Uncle?
So, yes. So, Dustin is an uncle.
Brittany's uncle.
Yes, Dustin's Brittany's uncle because he's married to her aunt. Donnie is Brittany's uncle because he's married to her aunt. And then Randall Scott is her uncle because it's her mom's brother.
Okay.
So she has two maternal uncles by marriage and then one maternal uncle.
Okay.
So, in October 2012, a police detective testified against Dustin Kent, and the court heard that Kent raped his 13-year-old niece in 2008 while her father watched. Her father was Donald Holland Sr., the same uncle and last person that Brittany was known to be with before she vanished.
This is so horrendous.
Yeah, they're just, like, I mean, there are lots of families, sadly, I think, that have a lot of this stuff going on, but a lot of these are family members by marriage, which means This family, they went out and they found other people who also shared the same illness.
Yeah.
Or, like, the same attraction to children. Like, this same type of disgusting perversion.
And then did it, like,
with them and to their family member, like, to their own children. So, that detective stated that the father of the girl, so Donnie Holland, told his daughter, who's 13, that they were going to go to the pet store and buy a hamster. But instead, they went and picked up her uncle, Dustin Kent, and he raped her in front of her dad. And she reported this to the police after her father died, and that's when Dustin was arrested for this crime. Despite facing her own charges, Chessie, Brittany's mother, made a plea to her sister Wendy, who is married to Donnie, for information. She said she accepted the fact that Brittany is no longer alive and believes that Wendy and Donnie, like, did something to Brittany when she went to go confront him about this. That's when she vanished. So Wendy has repeatedly refused to talk about her niece's disappearance. Prosecutor Teresa Hines said authorities approached Wendy's lawyer before her trial and before sentencing, asking if she wanted to talk about what happened to Brittany, but she declined.
So she's also...
all of these pictures on here.
So she's also been indicted on something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Wendy has been charged with sodomy, sex abuse, and child torture. And that's Donnie's wife. So Chessie believes that Wendy is the only person still living who knows what happened to Brittany and where her body can be found. And Brittany's stepmother agrees. So there's literally nothing funny about this case, but Wendy has a twin sister named Mindy, and that's probably like the only part about this that isn't depressing. Actually, it's depressing in its own way, because my friends call me the name police because I'm like pretty judgmental about what people name their children, and yeah. They named their twin girls Wendy and Mindy. They literally just flipped one letter upside down.
I'm sorry if your name is Mindy, but
nobody else's name is Mindy.
Not the best.
So a lot can be said about people who choose from like what they choose to name their kids, because names are important. They are forever and they follow you around. And some people just give their kids really homemade names. And so this family tree is confusing, and it's only going to get more confusing because there are twin sisters named Wendy and Mindy. So I'm just trying to let you know. But so to try to explain this family tree, Mindy is married to Dustin Kent. So Chessie, Wendy, and Mindy are sisters. Chessie is Brittany's mom. Wendy is married to Donnie Holland, who was with Brittany last and then, quote, unquote, committed suicide.
Okay.
Mindy's married to Dustin Kent, who went with Donnie on the bogus pet store fake hamster buying trip, where he then raped Donnie's 13-year-old daughter in front of him. So both of them are married into the family. Dustin and Donnie married into the Wood family, and they are involved in the rape of their own children. So, Mindy was convicted of sodomy and sex abuse of a child under 12. That's Jennifer. I'll tell you about her in a second. So, she looks just like her, honestly, because they're twins. So, yeah. But Mindy was convicted of sodomy and sex abuse of a child under 12. And that's what Wendy was convicted of, plus child torture.
Right. So.
Brittany herself was also a victim of abuse at a young age. I believe she was abused by her grandmother's boyfriend, and that he actually went to prison for the acts he committed against her. And during the 2014 trial for the crimes that Wendy Holland was accused of, a teenager in the family said that she was first molested while she was still in diapers. And she said that her earliest memories included having sexual relations with her adult relatives, including Wendy Holland. She went on to detail how the family participated in group sex, which sometimes included Brittany. Dustin Kent pled guilty to 6 charges and said in his testimony that he had 6-way sex with his relatives, an event that included Wendy and the girl I just mentioned. But none of the charges against Wendy included Brittany. Wendy was sentenced to 219 years in prison and will never be eligible for parole.
Well, good.
Yeah. None of the other 10 people charged for their involvement in the pedophile ring have provided any information about Brittany either. Authorities were hopeful that after seeing the really tough sentence given to Wendy, that it would encourage others to come forward and talk, but I don't think that that happened. And that's likely because only Donnie and Wendy truly know what happened to Brittany, and Donnie's dead. So.
I feel like this is generations and generations of abuse.
Like, they were likely abused as children as well, like Wendy, Mindy, and Chessie. And then they've just continued to let
internalize it and perpetuate
it. Yeah, generations. So.
But if you know how much that the hurt...
But that's, like, normal to them, I guess. Yeah.
I can't. I don't know.
Yeah, you would think... which a lot of people think that that's why Brittany went to say something, because she was now a mom of a little girl. And she was, like... She probably recognized, like, her daughter's fate. And she was like, uh-uh. Which is something that her mom didn't do for her.
Right, but I still feel like even like the minute I had a kid, I feel like I would be so nervous to ever let her out of my sight.
They just, because like, so Donnie and Dustin didn't grow up in this family, so they were likely not abused their whole life. So I just don't understand how you get on board with that. Like, the first conversation you have with somebody, you're like, and by the way, so-and-so is attracted to children. And the other person doesn't immediately, like, alert authorities. How are you like, yeah, me too? Like, I don't know. I can't wrap my brain around how it got started, I guess. Because they weren't born into it. They married into it, and then they kept it going.
I have no words.
So, here's a quick breakdown of the people involved and their relationship to Brittany, as well as their charges. So, Dustin Kent is Brittany Wood's uncle by marriage. He's married to Brittany's aunt, Mindy. He was charged with sodomy first degree, sodomy second degree, incest, and 2 counts of rape second degree. Mindy Kent, so that's his wife, she's the maternal aunt of Brittany because she's Chessie's sister, and she's the twin sister of Wendy. She was charged with sodomy first degree and sexual abuse of a child less than 12 years of age. Chessie Wood, Brittany's mother, sister of Mendy and Wendy, charged with 2 counts of sodomy and sex abuse of a child less than 12, but pled guilty to reckless endangerment instead. Randall Scott Wood, Brittany Wood's maternal uncle, brother of Chessie, Mendy, and Wendy, charged with sodomy second degree and incest. He was released on $25,000 bond, and he was the one who alerted authorities originally to the ongoing sex abuse in the family in February of 2012. So just 3 months before Brittany went missing. Derek Thomas Wood, Brittany's brother, was charged with rape second degree and sodomy second degree. He was also charged with incest, but that charge was dropped. Donald Holland Jr., Brittany's cousin, son of Wendy and Donald, a.k.a. Donnie, so the people last with Brittany, he was charged with rape second degree, sex abuse, and incest. Wendy Holland, maternal aunt of Brittany, twin sister of Mendy, sister of Chessie, married to Donnie, the same uncle, you know, that Brittany went to confront. She was charged with sodomy first degree, sex abuse of a child less than 12, and child torture. She's the one who was given the 219 years. William Brownlee is a friend of Donnie Holland, that same uncle, and he was charged with sexual abuse second degree and sodomy second degree. James, and his last name is C-U-M-B-A-A. And I'm not sure how you say that, but he was a relative of Brittany's by marriage, though it didn't specify who he was married to. So this is another person who married into the family.
This was deliberate. It has to be deliberate.
Like, they all had to talk about this and then, co-sign that behavior. Like, agree to
Marry because of the promise of the continued behavior.
Oh, yeah. They probably were like, yeah, if you marry into this family, you can have sex with the young girls in it. I don't know. So he was charged with rape first degree, sodomy first degree, and sexual abuse of a child less than 12. Nelton Morgan is a family friend with the adults in the Wood family, though it didn't say who specifically. And he was charged with rape first degree, sexual abuse of a child less than 12. And then Jennifer Moore is another family friend who was accused of producing child pornography and second-degree child abuse.
They have to meet on the premise of, we love kids.
Yeah, in the worst way. So, despite all of these guilty verdicts, there's really no winner here. The 16-year-old girl who testified in Wendy's trial talked about being tormented and the lifelong impact that this abuse will have on her. And these convictions don't take away those experiences or that pain. Like, it's good that they're getting them, but it doesn't really make anybody happy that they have.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to have to prosecute this, so.
Yeah. It's like the truth that unlocks the uglier truth.
Yeah. So, what happened to Brittany is terrible, and the acts committed in her own family were also terrible. But it's been said that though Brittany's disappearance and the journey to solve what happened to her is what, shined? English teacher?
Shown
the light on the family's long hidden secrets. As terrible as it is, Brittany's disappearance helped victims of abuse. Like I said, I'm guessing that Brittany was a mother and she knew the likely fate of her daughter and she just couldn't stand by and let that happen because she was born into a family where sex abuse was common and it was all that the kids knew and I don't think she wanted that future for Peyton. So she went to stop it and it cost her life instead.
Can I ask what happened to Peyton?
I don't think anything did yet. And if they do, they haven't said. She was 2 when this happened, and Brittany didn't have custody of her.
Oh.
So I think that Peyton lived with her dad at the time this happened, but I also saw that Peyton lived with Brittany's dad, who is, completely removed from this, and her stepmom. So Peyton was not in the care of these individuals, but I think Brittany knew that it was still inevitable.
Okay.
And so I mean, obviously we can't ask Brittany, but, the other family member messages her about the rape that she's being raped by all of their uncles, and then Brittany, goes over there, and then she's just never seen again. So you have to think that, Brittany was, a martyr for the cause, kind of. Like, she was killed because of it, but she was doing a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
Martyr, is that the right word there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Look at me. So they have to meet each other under, the pretense of abusing children.
Yeah, there has to be some signal or some type of, tattoo or, some phrase that they say.
Like a secret word, yeah.
Yeah.
So you know that you're one of them.
That's not something you just come out and say to somebody. Because if somebody said that to me, I'd be like, tip line, Crime Stoppers. I don't know what they did, but look into them.
There has to be a signal. I didn't even think about that.
Or they just all have triple names.
Yeah, that's true. And you were saying, the people who investigate this, like, they have to know what that is and be...
It's kind of like a bulk of information that they keep from the public, so nobody knows. But I feel like really expose it, because then nobody can be...
But then they just come up with a new one, and then the police would have to relearn a new thing. Language. And you know that they go undercover and try to infiltrate these networks, which is nauseating.
Oh, I would vomit. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I couldn't
vomit
either.
Every day. I'd be like, hi, code word.
Yeah. Oh, did you see on Snapchat recently, you know there's that filter where you can change genders?
Yeah.
Some kid used it to catfish people, and he actually caught a cop who was trying to pick up not an undercover cop. Like, he was really trying to pick up young girls for sex. He wasn't, like, in a sting operation. Yeah, and he helped the police catch this dirty cop by using the girl Snapchat filter.
You never thought something so beautiful would come out of that Snapchat filter.
I look better without it. I'm not really a pretty girl, but I'm a way better looking dude on that filter than. But
yeah, really a very convincing dude on that thing.
Really, I'm not a convincing dude. Well, maybe I am. I don't know. I don't want
exactly like my brother on that thing.
But that girl one, I'm like, oh, that's scary. I'm glad. But yeah, I don't know. They have to meet.
There's no way they just coincidentally stumble upon
each other. You're a pedophile too? No way.
Oh,
like, no.
Yeah, you've been doing this for years.
Yeah, because like I said, how do you say that first? Like, how do you come out the very first time with that information about, like, an attraction or affliction of... Oh. Yeah, you have to... These guys had to marry in because they knew that the family...
Promised this.
Did that, yes.
And it would be a safe space. Yeah, I don't feel like with whatever relationship you're entering, it's like... Once you get to, like, you expose this part of yourself, that's the deal-breaker stage.
Yeah, there's no going back, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just, I can't, and I'm sure this is way more common than we think it is.
Oh, it just, like, breaks my heart and, like, grosses me out and makes me sneer at passersby.
Yeah, like, now I'm going
to trust anyone.
I'm going to, like, look at mugshots of all these different kind of people and be like, do you have a symbol? Do you have is it a haircut? Is it a necklace?
Yeah, we should just, like, study it a little. Yeah. Just to be
safe. It's going to take over our life. So, just to be safe. Yeah, just public service. We're going to scrutinize mugshots of pedophiles and see if they, what the commonality is.
Neck tattoo or piercing or something.
But they're so young. Like, Britney's brother's 21.
He's legit.
Yeah, like, these guys, so he was born into this, though, so he was probably a part of this abuse his whole life.
Yeah.
But, like,
abused and made to be an abuser.
Yeah. Early. And I'm sure that happened to all of them. Like, Chessie was, remember I said that Brittany was abused by her grandma's boyfriend?
Yeah.
So that same guy probably abused Chessie and Wendy and Mendy when they were younger, and then at some point they grew up, they matured, so then he had to pick a younger girl.
And grandma was just like, yeah, this is cool.
Hopefully not.
No big deal. He doesn't want me. He wants all the women around me, young.
How do you,
how do you, like, set your kids up as prey?
Yes. Like, and that happens a lot. I read those
no
stories.
No man wants me, but I'll, like give him a pipeline of young ladies.
Oh, a pipeline is an accurate and disgusting
phrase. I'm really sorry.
But I see all those stories, like, I follow a lot of crime things on Facebook, obviously, and the news, and they'll be like, mother admits to selling daughters for sex.
I'm like, what is it?
Why? Like, are you... I don't know. It's just, I don't think that this is something that can be cured. And I usually believe in the justice system's ability to rehabilitate people. But if you are, this is not something that can be fixed. I mean, that's, I don't know if that's a popular or unpopular opinion, but I think once you're a pedophile, like, you're a lost cause.
I mean, it's your sexuality is formed around it, and sexuality doesn't go away.
Yeah.
I mean, monks don't do it. I went off on a tangent.
Okay. I don't know. It's just sad. But... It's good that something good came out of something bad. Like, Brittany died, but helped literally everyone in her family with her.
Exposed some.
Yeah, she.
Really.
It really was just the tip of the iceberg. So, I saw a video interview with Peyton, and it was, like, really heartbreaking. So, the interviewer, they show pictures of Brittany and Peyton together to Peyton, and they talk about how Peyton wishes she could remember her mom. Because she was too young, when she went missing. And so, like, she's 8 now. Well, she was 8 in that video. And all she has are, like, the pictures of her mom. And when she was really little, they said that she used to think her mom, like, worked for the television people because she was always on TV. But, because it was a very highly publicized disappearance in that part of Alabama because of the pedophile sex ring that it, like, brought out. So, Chessie believes that Brittany is dead. And that she was killed by Wendy and Donnie. And most of the theories I've come across were that the family had to make Brittany disappear because she knew too much. and they had to make sure that nobody talked. So no one close to the case thinks that Brittany ran away or went missing on purpose, because they think she would have definitely wanted to take Peyton with her. 100%. And if you remember, her uncle's gunshot wound was to the back of the head. So some people speculate that Brittany killed him and then ran away to escape her family. But then, like,
what about
Peyton? But if she didn't have custody of Peyton, then that really could have helped protect Peyton even more. Like, mm-hmm. So maybe kill Donnie and then just vanish. But I don't know. I don't, maybe she didn't do that. I feel like if you were so outraged by these things and, like, wanted to protect your daughter, that you wouldn't just leave her there. You wouldn't abandon her.
Yeah.
And I did see conflicting things about who had custody of her, whether it was Peyton's dad or if it was Brittany's dad. So, I don't know. But I just, that actually kind of makes me feel better if Brittany did that. If Brittany killed him and then she took off, that I would rather that be the story than he killed her when she went to confront him.
But, yeah, which is like, I can't be like, I hope that's what happened. Yeah. Because that's still awful. But I mean, because she would have to spend her life away from her daughter. But I feel like
it's so much better than the alternative.
Yeah. And I also feel like there's something there with, like, the police. Like, they ruled it a suicide.
This guy deserved it. Sometimes I think the cops do shady investigative work and it's at the expense of the victim. But if that's the case here, if they ruled it a suicide, they did it for Brittany, for the victim. And I'm like, and good for that. You. I appreciate that too. Yeah. So that way she wouldn't be like charged or, you know, to do any time for that. So yeah. Random.
If ever she was found.
Yeah. Random factoid. I read that Brittany, well, it said that Brittany had a cousin in the NFL, but it's more like she, there's a guy in the NFL who shares cousins with Brittany, but the other side of the family, and he's not Brittany's cousin, mm-hmm. but he hasn't really been connected to the case too much, probably quite purposefully. So Brittany's mom is Chessie, and her sister married Dustin Kent, and Dustin Kent's sister is NFL player's mom. So it was like, Dustin Kent is both of their uncles, but he's Brittany's uncle by marriage, and he's like legit NFL player's uncle.
Okay.
But yeah. And I feel like his high profile, like, he could bring a lot of awareness to Brittany's disappearance, but at the same time, then that would connect him to a pedophile ring. So they've, like, ruled purposely. I don't know. I wouldn't want that connected to me either. So police said that they have Brittany's DNA on file in the event that they come across a Jane Doe or, like, the body of a young white female. They can run it against her DNA to see if it's her. So really, at this point, it seems like they're just waiting to find Brittany, and she's presumed to be a homicide. So, like, the small glimmer of hope we had that she murdered her uncle and then vanished is unlikely, but I'm still rooting for it. So Brittany's stepmom continues to push for public awareness of Brittany's case and hopes that the family can get closure and answers. And pretty much everybody thinks that she was killed the same day she was last seen. So May 30th, she went to confront him.
Yeah, I would never even get in a car with that jerk. I'd be like, meet me somewhere public. Yeah. Well, maybe she wanted to shoot him.
Oh, that's true. Here we go. Still holding out hope that she shot him. Yeah. So, as recent as October of 2018, her mother, Chessie, and friends were still doing searches for Brittany, like, still covering ground, like, all on foot into woods and stuff. Have you heard about the Daniela Vianne case?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, so I hadn't either until she was found, which was, like, really recently, like, a couple months ago. So, her disappearance is, like, totally unrelated to Brittany, except that Daniela, like Brittany, was also a young mom who went missing in Alabama. She was last seen on July 17th, 2018. Well, her mother-in-law, Julie Thomas, became friends with Chessie, Brittany's mom, which kind of thinks, like, you maybe don't want to be friends with her. But she said that they, like, bonded over this shared tragedy of a missing family member. Mm-hmm. And so they've both just been, like, a person to lean on when they were having trouble with it. So Julie actually assisted in that search in October of 2018 for Brittany with Chessie. But in May of this year, Daniela's car and body were pulled from a body of water that they found submerged near a boating ramp when police were doing a diving training exercise. Their, like, little radar thing picked something up, and they found her. I'm pretty sure, but I'm not, like, 100% sure, that the medical examiner said she was alive when her car went into the water, but listed her death as undetermined and said that her vehicle appeared to have entered the water under accidental circumstances. So I don't know. I have any idea what that means. But anyway, these two moms in Alabama, Chessie and Julie, became buddies to help find Daniela and Brittany. And Daniela's been found, but no Brittany. So, to date, the disappearance of Brittany Wood remains unsolved, and the case is still open. If you have any information about the whereabouts of Brittany Wood, please contact the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office at 251- 972-6802 or the Mobile County Sheriff's Office at 251-574-8744. You can also report a tip anonymously by calling Crime Stoppers of Southwest Alabama at 251-208-7000. In the United States, approximately 1 in 4 girls are sexually abused before the age of 16, and 1 in 6 boys. If you or someone you know is a victim of sexual abuse, please know that there are resources available to try and help you. Organizations such as RAINN, that's RAINN with two N's, R-A-I-N-N, these organizations provide 24/7 support. RAINN is the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, and you can find them online at RAINN.org, or you can call them at 1-800-656-HOPE. That's 1-800-656-4673.
Thank you for listening to Sideline Sleuths. If you have any comments or questions about this case or just feedback about the show in general, you can find us online at facebook.com/sidelinesleuths.